so I have like one more question, but is there anything that you anything else that you would like to share on these topics?
Well, I mean, certainly I think what's important for me, I mean, and that's where I'm trying to focus my research on. I mean, I think there's a lot of progress and, you know, with programs like we are doing at Singapore or in other universities worldwide, I mean, it's clear that we are having massive understanding on the mechanistic aspects of some of these interventions or how the aging process per se occurs. I think where it's going to be more and more important in my personal experience is really this interconnection between understanding how the hallmarks of aging. So how does mitochondrial function influence senescence or influence proteostasis, and how proteostasis impacts or responds to, let's say, DNA damage that also occurs in the aging process, right? So one, for me, what would make perhaps for better interventions or for ways to combine interventions and really reach more synergistic effects or add years of healthy lifespan to our lives is going to be in the understanding the interconnection between the hallmarks of aging. And with this, then therefore try to generate combinatorial approaches for drugs that target some of these hallmarks and then maybe are already approved by FDA, so they are ready to be used in combinations, or by combining different supplements or supplements with drugs in order to improve the benefits while reducing the side effects. So, to do that, we really need to understand the interconnections and not think of the hallmarks as separated entities. As I still see sometimes when people discuss about aging, they tend to focus on one particular hallmark. But I think that we need to either do that, but then interact with other scientists that have then expertise in the other hallmarks and then try to build something together, or you have to become more broad in your understanding of how these hallmarks are connected. So that's the aim of my lab currently, really, to focus on the interconnection, as some of my studies has also already shown.
Excellent. Just one thought on that is also, as well as having these mixtures of supplements and drugs, we would need some trusted source to be able to deliver them, if you see what I mean. Because at the moment we have doctors who follow standard of care, and then we have supplements, but there's nothing kind of in between, and there's no one who says, like, there's so much disagreement about everything, like NAD boosters or spermidine or anything, right? And like having a single source, although a single source is always dangerous, because there always has to be multiple sources to discuss matters. Having some trusted source that would be able to say, you know, this is what the evidence shows.
Right. No, yeah. So for that, I think, that's why I think the implementation of these programs that are really bridging together not just scientists, but also clinicians, and all the way influencing, you know, policies and also interacting with essentially with the hospitals and so on, so that we can actually train also, you know, the doctors and so on that have to work in the nutrition space and recommend maybe to their patients, you know, what supplement or what benefit they could get from certain supplements. This is something that we are considering, at least in Singapore, for instance. One thing we are already trying to do a little bit, and this is an initiative led by Andrea Meyer, for instance, we are trying to do either workshops or courses for either students or now even for anyone, scientists, clinicians, anyone that has an interest in really giving them like a sort of overview of what's from the biological perspective and intervention perspective, what's happening in the longevity space, so that they can also go back with a bit more understanding of what they could actually advise to their patients. Of course, this is just a first step. It's not a fully embedded, you know, like a structured system, and it's only in Singapore. You know, we need more of these initiatives. But I think certainly training of specific professional figures that are really focused on this, let's say, understanding of the what do geroprotectors do and what benefits they could bring and what for which patients or which people this could be useful. It's something that I think in time would be needed, I think, to generate really these specialized figures. And of course, a bit more, I say, with guidelines and more clear communication and more better and more clinical trials that would also make more and more head-to-head comparisons of compounds, right? We are still lacking, as you mentioned, you know, you would not know if you want to take which NAD precursor you want to take or which autophagy inducer you may want to take. Problem is there's a lack because of course, these trials are difficult to design, difficult to recruit people, difficult to fund as well. There's a lack of the possibility often, not the will of scientists, but really there's a lack of the possibility to actually run trials that are big enough to compare head-to-head all these molecules. So ideally, if we could find ways to test them head-to-head or to develop, on the other end, very good biomarkers that would really read or be a good proxy for clinical efficacy later on, so that you could make smaller trials with and including more compounds, that could be another option. So again, these things are all, I think they are in the development phase, and they will become more and more prominent as we see that there is need for clarity, but it will take, I think, still a bit of time.
Yeah, well, we certainly wish Singapore, well, yourself and Brian Kennedy and so on, luck in Singapore, and I think it's a great model to go forward with. Okay, so the last question. So what is your protocol for healthy aging?
In that sense, I would say I'm not doing anything like, I would say, crazy or special. I mean, in a sense, I'm an ex-volleyball athlete. I mean, when I was in my, teenage time. So I did have like many, many years of training. And I think that certainly has kind of built a solid, base on which to keep now the functionality. So for me now, I'm very interested in maintaining my body functional, right? So what I do is I don't do any, again, very strict or crazy routines, but I do at least every other morning. I exercise in the morning, every other morning, and I do mostly like strength focused exercise to really maintain strength and functionality of the muscles. I've tried also things like intermittent fasting in the past and so on, but I think that really depends on your body type. It depends on your metabolism and so on. So what works for me, I think, is try to eat as balanced as possible. I'm Italian, so I believe in the Mediterranean diet for sure, in a good composition of your variability of your diet, but certainly not overeat. So I eat only what I feel is right. I mean, I tend to kind of calculate a little bit the calories and the grams of food that I eat so that I know more or less how much I'm getting. So exercise every other morning, I'd say as balanced diet as possible. I even tend to actually cook very often my own food so that I know what I'm putting in there, you know, in terms of oil, salts, and all these kind of things. And then in terms of supplementation, I pretty much only take omega-3s because I don't eat necessarily a lot of fish yet. I mean, I think I could improve on that, but I still think omega-3s are a well-established supplement. Vitamin D, because I also don't expose myself too much to the sunlight, also to kind of, on one end, to prevent photo damage, but also because, I'm not always outside. I also take magnesium to sort of kind of support a little bit the overall system and to also prevent sometimes feelings of dizziness and so on, because that I experienced, for instance, after COVID, you know, I had like during the first wave, I experienced this dizziness post-COVID, and actually magnesium was very helpful for me in that context. So a few minerals and essentially just a supplement, I would say, vitamin D3 and magnesium and omega-3 for the moment.
Right. Do you have any trackers?
No, I mean, I honestly, I've been considering for the moment. I haven't done it yet. The only things I do, I always keep track of my body weight. So when I go to exercise, every time I exercise, I also measure my body weight. So just to see whether I'm increasing, decreasing, you know, so if my BMI is sort of staying in the range. And and also blood pressure. I mean, I have a device at home, so I just measure blood pressure just to see whether that's, and heart rate, to see whether those are kind of constant, and not changing over time.
Excellent. So, Dr. Sarantino, great to see you physically in Hong Kong.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people follow your work and, I guess, more widely, the work of the National University of Singapore?
All right, yeah. So I have essentially my personal page on the NUS Biochemistry Department website. So I'm still building my Sorrentino lab webpage because I started about a year ago now the lab. So we are first setting up the lab. But still, we have on the NUS Biochemistry Department webpage, there is my personal page. Of course, I'm active on LinkedIn and Twitter too. Communicate about my findings, but also about the Center for Healthy Longevity. So the Center for Healthy Longevity and the Healthy Longevity Translational Program from NUS, they have their own Twitter, LinkedIn pages where people can follow all the updates. So these are good tools where you can follow all our work and the work from Professor Kennedy, Meyer, and all the other scientists in the program. And I think we do a lot of, we have a lot of our webinar series with the NUS led by Professor Kennedy as well, where we post these videos on YouTube. So they are free registration anyways, and we also post them on YouTube. So where we cover all these topics of healthy longevity, so people can essentially also follow our work there.
Right, and you were on that recently.
Yes, I was. So I had I was there when I started about a year ago. So focused really specifically on the discussion between mitochondria and proteostasis. So about my research topics, and we had a special episode, I think, for the 100th episode recurrence of the NUS webinar. I think about a month ago, where also me, but also all the other let's say phases of the CHL, including students, also sharing their experience working at the NUS and with the Center for Healthy Longevity. And we just try to kind of really reach out to people about what we know, what we understand, and also try to raise also awareness, but also cautioning people in not rushing necessarily into things that are not scientifically established, but also understand more and more how your body behaves as you age. So that's right. Our overall goal.
Excellent. Okay, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Richard, for the invitation. So it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.